You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we're sticking with the interest rate conversation because that's been all the talk this week. That's been the only thing markets have been focused on since Monday. We're going to be taking a look at the implications of the rate decisions and what it could potentially mean for the economy and for some of the decisions in future. I'm joined on the line by senior economist at PwC, Kanti Pai, to take a look at this and try and understand how we go forward from here. Kanti, good evening. Lovely to speak to you as always, Meneer. Let's start with your thoughts and reflections on the 50 basis points hike by the US. I mean, we'd all priced in 25 basis points, but I think only half the market had priced in an additional 25.
It was actually something that was quite surprising because we know that inflation in the US remains sticky, even though trending downwards. But clearly, the concerns of a recession that's looming weighed too heavily on the Federal Reserve. But I think also it's probably one of the things that, you know, the U.S. has always been about. You know, if they have to contend between the pain of inflation and the pain of unemployment, they tend to go with the pain of inflation. They tend to say that, you know, it's much better that we actually experience inflation. We know that those numbers have come in a disappointing way. So when they look at, the numbers of unemployment and what looks like unemployment, increasing and a recession, they would rather actually sort of contend with inflation and open up the gates for employment. So I suspect that's really what was at play here.
That's quite an interesting perspective on it, because we've also seen that an inversion of the yield curve, which suggests that we could be in for a recession and possibly job losses. And I suppose that's probably something that the US has got serious concerns about. Kanti, I want to look at the South African picture versus the US picture around kind of just some of the things with the rates conversations, right? We got the Fed decision yesterday. We got a dot plot from the Fed. We love the little dots on the screen, and they tell us how many more rate cuts are coming up. Sure. Our own SARB today, and I know you and I were both listening in on that SARB meeting or the MPC meeting. The governor was very vague around future cuts. He said, well, we're going to have future meetings, therefore you'll find out what future cuts look like at those meetings. Why the vagueness? Why not give us a dot plot?
It's interesting. You did say, you are invited to the next meeting and you'll hear. But I think the interesting thing about that is, of course, that, you know, part of our monetary policy and, you know, its effectiveness is that you sort of, you set the expectations and you sort of have a sense of what's coming. But I guess at the same time, you have a situation, as the governor puts it, that there are too many moving parts. And so in that sense, he's probably opening up, the options for himself. So not to say, look, we see inflation where it is now. We think that we will be, we are on a cutting cycle, because it does say that we found it, appropriate to be less restrictive. So he says, we cut to be a little bit less restrictive, but he's not saying that's the path we are taking. And usually you would want that sort of clarity, but it's probably because he's also saying that there are too many moving parts, the risks, and there's always, there's too many things to consider. And so he would like all his options, in his palm. And that's probably why that he's not going into the space in which he probably indicates where we are going, so that he does not have to, if he has to sort of reverse action, he can still do that. If he has to go further, he can still do that.
So effectively, so that he doesn't have to do what Fed Chair Jerome Powell said yesterday and say we might have gotten it wrong. I suppose that that makes a lot more sense. After today's rate cut decision, there's now a slight skewing in that interest rate differential, because the US had a bigger cut than South Africa. And so that would suggest that this would bode well for the rand, at least. The rand has briefly come below 1750, touching 1745-ish. Is it a good time to be kind of bullish on the rand and say we might get to 17, or is it just not a time to be betting against the rand? It looks very, very positive.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, actually, because I was talking to a client just today who is negotiating a contract that will probably be in dollars. And he was asked, we're engaging on this. And he said, look, I'm getting into this contract. Should I actually sort of, hedge myself right at the beginning of this discussion? Because I know that, he says he's going to be negotiating for a period of time. By the time he concludes, the rent may have gone a different direction. And I think that's the big consideration at the moment. And I think most of us are thinking about that exact same thing. It's something that, I haven't really applied my mind in, and we are thinking about quite closely. I think what would be important to say at this point is that really some of the sectors that have driven the strength of the rand are things that we've looked at and said, look, it looks like, the structural sectors are on our side. But then at the same time, it's very difficult to say whether or not this is the kind of thing that lasts. And so probably is one to be cautious and say, look, let's be happy with what we've got, and hopefully that we continue to improve on some of the political and the structural issues that have improved over the past, I guess, 6 months or so.
I think we'd have more certainty around that if we hadn't scored so many own goals in the past. It makes it very difficult to not believe that that could happen again. But let's look at the other comments from the central bank governor. The governor also touched on the fact that there is an inflation differential with the US that suggests that as long as the US's inflation rate is lower than our own inflation rate, we can expect that our currency will always remain weaker by that differential there. Is he kind of alluding, for me it sounded like he was alluding to the fact that he might want to target that next. Are you seeing that the same kind of sentiments to say maybe that inflation differential is a concern for them?
Yes, I mean, he does say, you know, we are not targeting interest rates, we are targeting inflation. And therefore, he's talking really to real interest rates, but which we know that tend to weigh on the rand and, of course, imported inflation. But it's an interesting one because, obviously, he always says that what we are looking for, and he's always been very, very strong on this, that we are looking for what the rand can buy in South Africa and not what the rand buys abroad. It's a difficult discussion, of course, because we know that we import quite a bit, so the rand buys a lot in terms of having to convert it and then buy imports. So part of the discussion is always about whether or not they care about the exchange rate and whether or not they target that, and the answer to that, they would say no. But the inflation differential, obviously, is between what the rand can buy at home and what the rand can buy overseas. And that is a discussion that, you know, is a difficult one because it actually asks us to actually make a decision on one thing only. And as again, as you said, that there are a number of things that we have to look at. Real interest rates are key because that's where we think about, our portfolio flows. And that's something that also he sort of, I thought was very naughty about when he talks about, that people don't actually buy the policy rate. They buy yield from bonds. And I thought that's part of this whole discussion around actually what are we actually targeting. And I think it's complex, and we should actually think about it as complex as that, and that we have to apply our minds to complexity all the time.
That was indeed a very cheeky comment by the governor. Gandhi, I want to look at the other issues that kind of still persist and how that kind of shapes up when we look at this potential lower anchoring conversation. We know for the longest time the governor said he's going to consider and wants to put forward on the table lowering the inflation band from 3-6% right down to potentially even 2-3% in line with our global peers. And the conversation around that is obviously to achieve that is going to be very difficult, understanding where we sit at the moment. Unemployment being where it is, growth being where it is this a good thing to do at this time? And is it a good policy to want to then pursue in light of the fact that we might have the advantage of starting at zero at the moment?
Sure. It's very much related to this conversation you've just had about inflation differentials, right? That if we were to come down to 3%, then of course sort of equalize the inflation differential to the US and maybe the UK and the rest of our big trading partners. But I think one of the key things that maybe we'll remember is you'll remember that the Reserve Bank released a note recently on what they call super core inflation measure in South Africa, and where they really were actually saying, what are the underlying developments in South Africa's inflation? And what is it that actually drives it? And so this super core inflation is sort of made up of those components of inflation that are sort of responsive to our economic condition, if we think about the output gap. And one of the interesting things there is that they said, look, when we look at our inflation actually and what actually drives it and in the output gap, we think that, 4.5% is where it's right, it's well balanced, and it's demand driven. Pressures actually are consistent with what is actually happening in the economy. Now, one has to then look at that and say, well, how do you then look at that and then say, we're going to drive that down? So you would have to probably then think about driving down demand to where you would get to 3% in terms of what that drives you, if we are just looking simply at the super core note and say, look, well, clearly then we would have to keep interest rates higher for longer to drive demand down. And it speaks to then what you are talking about unemployment and growth and all of those kinds of things. But at the same time, we need serious work that will have to be done to really think about how we actually get to 3%, because, you know, it's not really about getting to 3% in inflation, because, as I say, there are, you know, underlying factors that are important for that. And so we don't target it as about how we actually get to that. What are the underlying factors? What would we have to do? What pain we would have to accept for that? And then what gains? Because at the end of it, once we get to 3%, there'll be gains, of course, there. Because then we will probably have more of a stable currency, we'll have more of a competitive economy in that sense. So it is about perhaps the path we will take, we'll have to take between now and the time we get to 3%. And that's, of course, something that will be of serious concern in terms of many people and economic players that are within our economy.
It's all still up in the air. We are on the right track. We've got lots to consider, and we clearly are going to take it one interest rate decision at a time. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, because if we do, we don't know what the other decisions are going to be. Thank you so much, Tlanti, for the time and for the insights. Tlanti Pai, senior economist at PwC, on the interest rates conversation, as well as the overall view on how they affect us.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.